Newsmakers talk to Jared Serbu on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Doug Lavero, the director of the Air Force's Space and Missile Systems Center.
The innovation in commercial SATCOM is not in the service. It's in the deal that we will make. And the business deal we will make is where we need to concentrate our neurons in to try to figure out how to provide better commercial SATCOM service.
Hear the entire interview online at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to begin our annual review of open season reviews. And to join us this morning are two gentlemen from Kaiser Permanente, John Patrick, FEHB Director. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And Dr. Jay Rue, Associate Medical Director of Kaiser Permanente. And can I call you Dr. Jay?
Absolutely.
I've been called worse. I wish they'd call me Dr. Jay, but they didn't. Anyway, and John Elliott, John Elliott is double retired. Retired from being on the road doing seminars and retired as a federal employee, but still a federal benefits strategist. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
All righty, so let's talk about Kaiser. First of all, how long has Kaiser been around?
For a long time, since the 1930s. Kaiser Permanente came about through Henry J. Kaiser, an industrialist shipbuilder out in California. And he came up with the idea of bringing medical care to his employees at their work sites. And him and Sidney Garfield, who was our physician, started what is now today an HMO.
Okay, now what makes you different? No bashing the competition, which you have never done in the preceding 5 years. But what makes Kaiser different than somebody else?
Well, first and foremost, the fact that we have our own facilities and co-locate all of our services within those facilities. So when you come to a Kaiser Permanente facility, you can see your primary care physician. We have our specialists there. We have labs, x-rays, imaging, and we even have pharmacies there. So it's one you can come to one place and get all of your care in one place at one time.
With the risk of sounding oversimplified, one-stop shopping?
Yeah, that's an easy way to put it. But there's a lot more to it than just that as well. The fact that all of those services are co-located, and the fact that all of our members have medical records that help us communicate and coordinate all of those services together. And I'm actually going to flip it over to Jay here to expand a little bit on that.
Absolutely. I think in addition to that co-location, which is real co-location, meaning everything's located together at these common facilities, we also have an electronic medical record system that, so to speak, co-locates all of the electronic medical records from all of those different settings of care in one common place. So whether you're seeing your primary care doc, your specialty doc, involved in a lab, pharmacy, radiologic service, or even talking to one of our advice nurses at our call center, inpatient, outpatient, all of it is brought together and housed in the same electronic medical record system so that any person in our system is able to not only access all of the sites from which they've been getting care, but also any provider in our system is able to see, you know, any kind of medical record from that particular patient.
Wow. Now, for those that might want to call, we're at 10:10 a.m. It's November 14th, 2011. We run to 10:50, almost 10:58. So please call us at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. But please don't call us after 10:58 because there'll be nobody here. But you can email us, and we'll talk about email as well as to contact the gentleman from Kaiser. So the facilities then allows the expression one-stop shopping. But when somebody walks in, you got your primary care, you got your specialists, you got the pharmacy. You mentioned pharmacy, so it's all housed in one. Now, do you cater, or if you will, are you primarily located in certain geographical areas of the country?
Kaiser has 8 different regions, and we are currently here is the Mid-Atlantic region, but 2 of our largest regions are Northern and Southern California, and then we are also located in the Pacific Northwest, Hawaii, Colorado, Ohio, Georgia. Am I missing any, John?
You got them all.
Yeah. So those are the 8, and we're one of those 8. Here locally, we're pretty spread out as far south as Fredericksburg, Virginia, as far north as, north of Baltimore, and even going up along 270 up to Frederick, Maryland, and, of course, everything in between. So that's roughly our geographic footprint here in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Okay, that's good. But there are a fair number of people that listen outside the Beltway here. So I'd like that you cover the West Coast, the middle of the country, and the like. So because we can tell from the emails, not necessarily where they come from, but sometimes the questions and the emails are from everywhere.
Actually, we have some pretty exciting news here in Mid-Atlantic as well. Just this year, we opened our largest medical center, which is what we call a hub here in D.C., where it has all of our facilities, and it's open pretty much 24/7. So.
And where is that hub?
It's right in Union Station, right next to Union Station. So it's conveniently accessed, again, open 24/7, and that allows us to provide our care around the clock. So all of our services within that urgent care facility are open 24/7. So your pharmacy, your labs, they're all open 24/7. So we can continue the continuity of care there as far as when people come in to see us, whether it's an urgent care case or just a normal doctor's visit.
And these hubs are the ones where we truly have built that notion of one-stop shop. If you go to some of our smaller facilities, we still have a lot of services, but it may not be all of the services that we offer at that one place. But at these new hubs, and this is the first of 5 that will be built here over the next couple years, everything that we do essentially right there in the same building. So very, very useful buildings. First one, again, Capitol Hill. Next year, we'll be going live with one up in Gaithersburg and another out at Tyson's Corner. And then the year after that, we'll have another in Baltimore and another one in Largo as well.
Imagine that, Tyson's Corner, you and a few other people.
Yeah.
And the Metro, I like the Union Station because you could take the Metro down if it wasn't some urgent care issue. It beats parking and fighting the traffic.
Absolutely.
So throughout the U.S., we're there. How about overseas? Because we have, we have listeners, believe it or not, overseas.
Right. So one of the things that's really unique about Kaiser Permanente is that we not only have our own facilities, but we have our own physicians as well. But if anybody was traveling in any case of an emergency, they would be covered at 100%. So it doesn't matter where in the world you're going to be. It's just a matter of claims being and paperwork being filled out as far as any injury or emergency concerning your health.
Okay. Fees. And I know people want to hear about fees, but I thought we'd start with the global issues. But, as far as premiums go, how does one, first of all, access what it would cost to become a member of Kaiser? And relative to others, but not others in particular, how does it stack up? And that's a huge, broad question.
It's a very broad question, but one we can answer, certainly. We have 2 options. We have a high option and a standard option. And healthcare is a very individual choice. Can't recommend one over another. It depends on whether you use healthcare more often or less often. But the difference in premium is pretty significant between the 2 plans. And the difference in benefits are the same. So it's the same benefits on both plans. One plan's not better than the other plan. It's a matter of whether you want to pay more to have it and less when you go to use it. So you might pay more in your paycheck, but it's only going to be $10 to go to your doctor. Or if you want to pay less to have it, a lower premium out of your paycheck, and you pay a little bit more, $20 to go to your primary care or $30 to go to a specialist.
Okay. So,
but OPM does a really good job at making sure federal employees have very good benefits and very good rates. So, you know, plan parity is fairly consistent across all of the competitors.
Yeah, let's give them OPM's website where all the information is for all the plans, including dental and vision, and that's www.opm.gov. And if you want to go directly to the insurance side of it, you go /insure, insure, and that opens up all the information for federal employees and retirees about all the health plans, obviously, including Kaiser. And also, if you're considering a dental and vision plan, they're there too, the costs and what they cover for all of these.
Okay. And in the proverbial green room before the show, you had mentioned that you might do a series of webinars.
Yes. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week, we're going to be conducting a series of webinars at 9, 12, and 3 o'clock throughout the period of each of those days. And if somebody would like to be invited to attend a Fed webinar and learn more about how Kaiser Permanente physicians deliver care, our physicians are going to be giving 30-minute presentations with a Q&A at the end, and they can email federal-accounts@kp.org to receive an invite. So any federal employee that is interested in attending a webinar and hearing from one of our physicians and how they're able to deliver care using our electronic medical record, again, you can go to an email, federal-accounts@kp.org, for more information. Additionally, another place, another great resource to go if you're looking for Kaiser Permanente Fed-specific information is kp.org/feds. There's a website there that has all the enrollment information. It has the brochures, a benefit summary, information on dental, and information on how to enroll. Also has an 800 number if you have any questions, and a click-to-chat feature this year.
Okay, what's that website again for that specific?
It's kp.org/feds.
Okay, KP for Kaiser Permanente, /.feds?
.org.
.org.
KP.org.
KP.org /feds.
Okay. All right. I'm slow. All righty. Any changes in coverage this year versus last? So if somebody had looked at it last year and was on the fence, is there anything different and specific? I mean, there could be general small changes, but any add-ons that are particularly attractive? Any things you pulled off the table that were less attractive because people didn't buy them?
There's only one change that most members might see, and that is we increased the cost sharing on the ER benefit on the standard option from $100 to $125. Outside of that, there are the other changes a member wouldn't even pick up on. There is one improvement as well. We've lowered the copayment on a 90-day drug supply from 3 30-day copayments to 2. So it's actually 2 payments to get the 90-day supply now.
So people get their drugs through your pharmacies at your locations.
They,
I know a lot of the plans are going to mail order through Medco, I guess it is. I know mine does that, which is fine. But you actually have, they can actually go on site and talk to a pharmacist, which I think is a nice feature.
Yeah, and they could do it that way, or they could also do mail order for their refills as well. And
I'm glad you brought that.
Yeah, a lot of our members, what they'll do is they'll go on kp.org where they have My Health Manager, where they can access and manage their own health care and click for a refill, and that can be done via mail order.
Is mail order cheaper?
For new prescriptions, they cannot.
Is mail order cheaper for you?
Well, if you're ordering a 90-day supply and then you're only paying for 2 co-payments instead of 3 co-payments, so it becomes less expensive.
I see.
There are other ways. You can go to a pharmacy and get prescriptions from us as well, but the matter of the convenience and being right there when you see your doctor and the physician being able to fill your prescription right there and then and picking it up on the way out. Also, the way the benefits are structured, it's less expensive to pick up a prescription at our medical center than it is at a pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it gets back to that notion of co-location again. In fact, I believe it was 2009, there was an article in the New York Times that looked at the rate at which prescriptions get filled in this country. And that number was shockingly rather low. It was 80% of the time, doctor will write a prescription and the patient will actually fill it. And if you eliminate antibiotic prescriptions, so if you're talking only the things like chronic diseases, your blood pressure medication, diabetes medication, that rate was even lower. That same article quoted that in Kaiser Permanente, the rate at which prescriptions get refilled or filled was 95% or higher. That difference between 80% and 95%, most folks believe that that is solely attributable to the fact that it's awfully convenient to get your prescriptions filled because it's at the same site where you're seeing your doc. So the power of co-location, again, rather than having to hop in your car, drive over to, you know, the neighborhood pharmacy or wherever, you know, you just go down the hall after you've been seen by your physician, and it's right there waiting for you. So that's the kind of thing that we're able to do when we co-locate and house all of these services under one roof.
All right, I got a question here from an emailer, actually outside of this, but it came in, and the one spouse had an issue with a pacemaker and I guess the wires, and they didn't know whether they were right or wrong. Do you all have at your hubs that type of electrophysiology, pacemaker-type service?
Well, interrogating a pacer is something where you need the machinery, typically from the manufacturer of the particular device, and the device folks themselves, and this is certainly not my area of expertise, but I have seen quite a few of these cases. I'm an ER physician by training, and the device folks will actually come out and interrogate the pacer. They have the machinery that does that. And they're able to do that in doctor's offices. They're able to do that in hospitals, ERs, urgent cares, really a whole host of different settings where you're able to get that.
And I'm
done.
Glad you said that, because that's the derivation of this question. They couldn't see him right away. And I didn't know why. And they said, well, would you ask, you know, the Kaiser people that are coming on, because they had to wait a few days, I guess, to get that specialty, whatever the equipment is from whoever it was, Medtronic or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. As an ER doc, I can't imagine. I can see why you're not an ER doc anymore, or are you?
No, I still get in there and practice as much as I can. Here in this region of Kaiser, we don't own and operate our own hospitals, and therefore we don't own and operate our own emergency rooms. But with these hubs, we have these 24/7 higher capability urgent care facilities with extended treatment and observation bays attached to them. So they operate sort of as a highly sophisticated urgent care, very similar to some smaller ERs. So that's the setting that I practice in here now.
So when would a Kaiser member go to your urgent care, and if they had an emergency, and or when should they be going to a hospital?
That's a great question. Certainly if they believe that anything is truly emergent, we want them going to the ERs. No question about that. But for things that are less emergent, less concerning, but have somewhat of an urgent nature, something like, you know, I've had some abdominal pain, cramping, and some diarrhea, or I've been nauseous and vomiting a few times. I have a cold and flu kind of picture going on. I have some fever. My kid's got a cough. Those kinds of things, we see a lot of those kinds of cases in our unit, and that would be absolutely appropriate. We have pretty much all of the capabilities that most even emergency room type settings have. But of course, we're not an emergency room, but we're pretty well equipped and staffed in a way that allows us to accommodate most of the lower acuity things that you would see.
Actually, if I could share a quick story, a personal story with you, that's a good example of where urgent care came into play. My daughter recently, who's 6 years old, had a stomach thing going on, and she said it was bothering her. And I called the nurse hotline at Kaiser, on a Sunday afternoon, and they asked me to take her into the urgent care center in Largo. I actually live in Crofton. It's about 35 minutes from my house, and I asked if I could go to one of the right time places that was 2 miles from my house, and the nurse informed me that that urgent care and other urgent cares don't have the imaging or x-ray capabilities, and that if they determine that my daughter needs an x-ray, they were going to send me to an emergency room. So she was able to show me how much more convenient it would be for me to drive the 35 miles, which I did. But the experience was just so easy. When we got there, you know, they swipe her card. There is no paperwork to fill out. They swipe her ID card. But got called back 5 minutes later, saw the physician, checked her stomach out, and sure enough, she wanted to have Maddie get x-rays and get lab work. So they sent us across the hall. She got her lab work. They sent us down the hall. She got her x-ray. We went back into the waiting room, got called back to see the physician. She wrote a prescription, and we picked it up on the way out. I was there for an hour and 15 minutes. So, I mean, you talk about the co-location of service, the convenience, and the fact that I never filled out one piece of paperwork the entire time I was there. And, you know, I paid a copay for that, a predictable copay that I knew I was going to have to pay. It wasn't any billing or any claims or anything like that. So it was very easy. And she got the care she needed when she needed it.
Yeah. And an hour and 15 minutes for an emergency room is nothing. Yeah. I mean, you can spend hours, as a lot of people know, including me, just waiting to get treated. An hour and 15 minutes is no time at all to get treated, for sure. Can an ambulance take you to one of your facilities?
So if you call 911, the local EMS agencies, that ambulance cannot take you to one of our facilities.
Okay.
But we have our own contracted ambulance services that, you know, sometimes we see people at these urgent cares and they need to go to a different site of care, whether it's a hospital or something like that. And we're able to transport them very easily via ambulance if they, you know, if the clinical situation calls for that. But no receiving of local 911 ambulance traffic.
You mentioned the D.C. near the Union Station. Are you on the Capitol Hill side or the H Street side of D.C.?
We are actually both. We are at the intersection of, or what would be the intersection of 2nd Street and H Northeast.
Pioneers.
Yeah, but the two streets actually don't technically intersect because H Street has an overpass that goes over, but that's where we are. So tucked sort of behind Union Station there.
You can actually get there via a tunnel through Union Station.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a walkway.
It gets back to your comment about Metro earlier. You know, I've metroed to and from work a couple times there where you never have to go outside. It's very nice. You get out of the Metro and then go through the tunnels and there you are.
Okay, sorry. I mean, that's very important to the local folks, but just what's going on H Street as a native D.C. Type is just you drive down and you go, wow. So very, very smart location. You mentioned medical imaging. You know, I get these things in the mail. Come and, you know, do a body scan or do that. Do you do that kind of, provide that kind of service, the body scan and medical imaging and looking for the arteries to see if there's things that don't belong in there and there?
We have the absolute state-of-the-art imaging equipment in each of these hubs. So as an example, in our D.C. location, the new one that went live, I guess, earlier this year, we have CT, MRI, ultrasound, obviously basic X-ray, nuclear, PET. I mean, you name it, it's there. And even the equipment within that, it is the state of the art. So I'm not quite up to date on the most technologically advanced CT scanner, but it's either a 64 slice or 128 slice, whatever it is, it's in there. And that allows us to do the state of the art imaging that you're talking about. So whether we're looking at, you know, coronary arteries or routine CT scans, it really opens up the world of possibility of what we're able to do.
Yeah, and actually, Bob, to go back to something we were talking about earlier, too, with the electronic medical record, a lot of people are talking about electronic medical records these days, and a lot of people say they have electronic medical records these days, but I think it's what's in the electronic medical record and how you use it to care for your members that's important. And those images go into those electronic medical records and give us the ability to do consults over the phone or over video with specialists. So if I went in to see Jay as my primary care physician and he wanted me to get an image, and then he had a question and wanted to talk to a orthopedic person, a specialist, while I'm there in the room with him, he can pick up the phone, he can call an on-call orthopedic surgeon or specialist and have that consult. And that, no matter where that orthopedic surgeon or specialist is within our community, he can pull up my record and be looking at the same thing and doing a three-way consult with myself, my primary care, and my specialist, which is a very powerful way to deliver care.
Yeah, this gets to sort of the awkwardness and clumsiness of what I think, you know, one of the things that are not so perfect about the American healthcare system. You know, what we're able to do at Kaiser is we're able to actually see and discuss the same information. And it sounds very simple, but it's not very simple outside of a system like ours. A lot of hospitals, a lot of physician groups might have electronic medical records nowadays, but the fact is that they're all operating on different ones. So you may go to one and they have a GE system, another may have an Epic system, another may have a Microsoft system. And this is the classic VHS Betamax issue where they're not able to communicate with one another or see the images taken at one place, you know, across locations. Our system, the way that it differs is that all of those sites of care that we were discussing earlier, all of them house the information in the same common electronic medical record system, and all of them are viewing that same common system. So whether it's images, as John was talking about, or it's your progress notes from your visits or your lab work or your allergies, your medications, all of that is housed in a single location, and that's what makes it powerful.
Okay, now for those of you all listening, today is November 14th. It's 10:32 a.m. We're on for about another 27 minutes. Please call us at 202-465-3080. But if you're driving home, this gets rebroadcast about 60 times a month. So if you're driving home, don't call us. However, gentlemen, and we have two folks from Kaiser Permanente, John Patrick, F-E-H-B-P, I guess that stands for Federal Employees Health Benefit. Okay, that's what I thought. Director and Dr. Jay Rue, Associate Medical Director, both from the same place. And now, how does one access your website or you all?
Yeah, the best, if you're a federal employee, the best way to find us is at kp.org/feds.
Okay, great. And of course, the sponsor of the show is NITP, INC, the nation's premier pre-retirement, mid-career, and beginning career seminar firm. Right, John?
Yeah, that's what you tell me anyway. Yeah. That's what you've always said.
All right.
So and, I think
and John
so too.
Knows.
I think so too, yes.
Okay, thank you. All righty. Where we go next? How do you know about participating docs? I'm sorry.
Well, actually, there was to pick up where we left off with the electronic medical record, there's a couple more, just a few other functionalities that I really like to draw people's attention to. And I can, of course, let Jay talk more about them. But our ability now to refer our members to a specialist has improved dramatically because of the communication with the electronic medical record and how our primary care physicians can actually look up a schedule for a specialist, and they don't give you a referral anymore. They actually book our members with their specialist in the exam room. So that capability and that functionality has really dramatically gotten our members care much faster than they've gotten care before in the past. Because as you know, with the health system that most of us work and live in and use, when you get a referral from a primary care physician, you go and you make that appointment on your own, and that can take some time to happen. I think the national industry averages around 26 or 28 days from the time that you get your referral to the time that you get to see a specialist. Jay, do you know the statistics around Kaiser? I think it's...
So the vast majority of our specialties, we're now looking at a standard of within 7 to 10 days. And in fact, I believe a good chunk of those happen next day. And the reason why, it's not like we're doing anything magical. It is simply the fact that now the sending provider is able to directly book you for the vast majority of clinical conditions directly into that schedule for the specialty provider. And that has been a tremendous tool, because now, as opposed to sending a patient out and saying, you know, here's the number, you need a, here's your referral, or kind of sending them out with instructions to follow up with, you know, blinkologist within 7 days, you actually send them out with an actual appointment in hand. And most of the time, it's a pretty timely appointment. Like I said, a good chunk of them being same or next day now. So our specialty access and our primary care access has just been phenomenal. Probably, I'd say, over the last 2.5, 3 years, it's really been an evolution in getting it to levels that this region of Kaiser has never seen before. And I don't think any healthcare system has ever seen access to the levels that we're at now.
You know, and another important part of that, too, is primary care at Kaiser Permanente is literally the quarterback of your care. And when he hands that ball off or throws it to that specialist, he knows the outcome of that meeting and of that visit because it goes into the medical record. So he can continue to coordinate your care and do the follow-ups that are necessary after you've seen that specialist.
Okay, could I ask you 2 follow-up questions? Now, your system probably speaks a certain language. Does the recipient, the person you're going to refer out, do they have to have the same ability to talk to your computer? Not they, but does their program have to speak to your program?
So we are a multi-specialty group of about 1,000 physicians directly employed through our organization, where we're all part of the same team. So we're not, quote unquote, referring out. This is another one of our colleagues that are also employees of the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, which provides the vast majority of the care for the Kaiser Permanente members here in this region. So again, they're all on the same system. We are housed in the same buildings. We all get our paycheck from the same organization. And we all have the same leadership and sort of same priorities as well. So we're all part of the same team. Now, it may be that you have the occasional service that's not available within our system. I think here in the Mid-Atlantic region, a good example of that is something like neurosurgery, where we don't employ our own neurosurgeon. When that happens and you need to see a neurosurgeon, we send a referral. You go to see that neurosurgeon, but yes, they may not have the same capabilities of entering things into our healthcare into our electronic medical record system. But the vast majority of them, also even the non-employed specialists, let's say, they have access to our system that we have granted them, so that they're able to view your medical record and create more of a context around which they're going to be providing your care.
Now, if I was a member of Kaiser, but I just really had this one doc that I had to see, I wasn't so concerned about the other ones. Is there ever a situation like that where somebody like me just has to see this other doc that's not in your system? Or do you just tell me, nah, you have to see one of ours?
Those situations do happen. And I think we're pretty good at creating that continuity of care, so that if someone's come into our system and they've been accustomed to seeing some other doc, we try to transition that care and, of course, do so in a clinically appropriate way. But at the end of the day, yes, if we have the service available internally, then we bring them in and say, you know, we have doctors A, B, C, D, and E that can provide the same services that you need. Let's try to transition how to get you to one of those providers. And again, the reason why we do that is when you have that care rendered internally, we are able to capture it on that common electronic medical record platform. And providers that come subsequent to that encounter, they're able to see what was done and able to link it back into the greater context of, you know, what's going on with your health. So, that's roughly how we approach that situation.
A great answer to a tough question. Thanks. All righty. I do this, and John's going to roll his eyes. Let's say I was a beginning career fed, youngish, right? What makes me attracted to your plan? Now we're going to do this beginning career, mid-career, and pre-retire, and even retired. And, you know, so we'll hit the whole spectrum of the people considering this stuff.
I'll take a snag at this one. I think beginning career, I'm assuming you're maybe a little bit younger. I think one of our big advantages is our electronic capabilities, not just the electronic medical record, but we have, and I know this is something that really draws folks in my family to Kaiser, is their ability to book their own appointments online, their ability to secure message their physician online and get responses back with quick questions that may not necessarily need to require them to come in for a personal visit. Let's say you have a quick question for your doc. You could send an email off to them, get the response without having to ever come in. They're able to handle things like prescription refills online. A lot of the tools that we have available on kp.org and through that portal My Health Manager, I think that really takes medicine to really updates it to where we are today in today's day and age with email capabilities. And some of the asynchronous forms of communication that we're probably all used to. I think the other thing is sort of our big movement towards telemedicine as well. Our use of technology, even within how we care for people once they do show up, just some fantastic, exciting stuff going on in our system. I'll give you a quick example. You come to me, I'm your primary care physician. You may have a knee problem that I want to send you to orthopedic surgery for or to the orthopedic surgeon. But what we're able to do now is we're running pilots where we essentially have Skype. We don't call it Skype because it's basically video teleconferencing. But we can bring in the orthopedic specialist right there in the same room, you know, on the monitor. He might tell me, as the primary care doc, hey, can you range his leg a certain way? And I want to see how he reacts to that. He could pull up that same image and then advise as to what the next care plan should be for you, whether, you know, he needs to see you in person or maybe he's able to prescribe some initial medications to get you started on your care plan. I think it's tools like that that become very nifty in our system, especially for perhaps a more internet savvy, tech savvy crowd, like a younger Fed might be. I don't know, John, if you had anything to add to that.
No, that's good. But I think it's important that one of the key takeaways from that, too, is that the person got their care right there and then when they needed it the most. They didn't get a referral and have to go make an appointment with somebody, you know, and get that and find out that information later. They're getting it when they needed it.
When you mentioned orthopedic surgeons, what if you break up your wrist and you don't need surgery, but you just have to go in, get an x-ray, and get a cast? Is that available at your sites?
Yeah. That's the easy
stuff. I've had the experience both with myself and my son who broke his wrist in a Little League game, and you know, we waited hours for the orthopedic doctor. Didn't need surgery, just needed a cast. I mean, it was broken, but I mean, it was endless wait, it seemed. And so that would be attractive if you could just go and, you know, get it done. And
absolutely. I think that's where our urgent care locations, and particularly the ones housed at these hubs, have been very, very useful. You're going to see folks that are able to do that exactly what you're describing without having to wait around for the orthopedist. Now, of course, there are some fracture patterns that require their intervention right up front, and that's different. But you're right, for the uncomplicated fracture, where all you need is a cast, you need the x-ray, you need someone to make that diagnosis, and then you get your cast, and then you get your follow-up with orthopedic, and you're done. You know, our urgent cares are very good at doing that.
All righty, let's move up the chain here. We're mid-career. We may or may not have a family, but we're probably in 40s, early 40s.
I'm going to tackle the next two in the same with the same comment.
Okay, so we're going to lasso the pre-retiree and the mid-career.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to tackle them in the same comment because I think something that becomes very important at that stage in life, both of those stages in life, is preventive care. The more proactive we can be about our healthcare, the better you know, we're going to be, and we'll be less likely to get sick. And Kaiser Permanente is not only our preventive care, is not only is there no copay behind that, but our physicians are very, very proactive about preventive care. They, within, again, with another element of the many elements within our electronic medical record is a panel management tool. Our physicians have the ability to pull up all of their members, all their patients in their panel, and sort them by chronic conditions or by preventive care measures that they need to be doing, and actually pull out the people that haven't been coming in to get their preventive care. They can they often export that list to and give it to their nurse to do outreach, proactive outreach, to have these people come in and do that proactive care. Whenever somebody's come in, if you came in because you were sick to one of our medical centers, when the nurse is taking your vitals, like they always do, they pull up your medical record, they'll see whether or not you've been up to date on any of your preventive care. Like if you haven't gotten a flu shot, they'll say, hey, Bob, we've noticed you haven't gotten your flu shot. How about we take care of that for you today? They proactively try to schedule and get you in to do the things that you're supposed to be doing. And I'll let Jay.
Yeah, you know, I like to use the analogy of Jiffy Lube. You know, back in the day, I remember my father, we had this beat up family car, and he had this grid where he would keep track of all of the maintenance things that needed to happen with that car. And he did a pretty darn good job of it, which is why that car lasted as long as it did. But, you know, every 15,000 miles, you need this. Every 5,000 miles, you need that. And he had this nice grid, and I still remember it growing up. You know, nowadays you go into the Jiffy Lube and the guy there is able to tell you, pulls up your record on the computer there, and he says, well, you need your brake rotors resurfaced, or you need your differential fluid changed, you need your oil change, obviously, you need your air filter changed. He's able to tell you these things based on the mileage of your car and just pulling up your record. That's essentially the system that we've created at Kaiser, where you get a middle-aged person. They're due for a series of preventive maintenance health type of evaluations, whether it's mammogram, pap smear, colorectal cancer screening, you know, you name it. We're able to pull that up, and it proactively lights up so that the doc who's seeing you knows that you're due for it and can schedule you accordingly. Delivering that information of when somebody is due for certain types of preventive care measures, you know, over thousands of people, that is directly saving lives. And that's, I think, one of the things I'm most proud of being part of Kaiser System, is that we focus so much on prevention. And I think we do so with some tremendous results.
I'll actually tell you a little known secret, too. The physicians are fairly competitive about this. They keep track of who's doing the best with keeping their patients up to date on their preventive care, and they keep scoring each other, so it's kind of neat.
Okay, so now the older vehicle, me, should be retired or is retired. What makes Kaiser attractive to somebody like me, single or married? I happen to be married, but single or married. But, you know, I've marched through this is the final thing, and then we're going to talk about catastrophic limits after that. Probably a good time to talk about it when we're talking about this age group.
Well, again, I think that preventive care, it plays a huge role as far as taking care of you as you're getting older, and making sure that you're doing those screenings. But, you know, the fact that, and I'll go back to something Jay mentioned earlier, too, about the online access that our own members have. As you've been a member throughout the years, you can chart your own lab results and so forth, and actually see and chart against yourself how you've been doing over the years. So you can be aware of your own changes as you've been getting older. But, you know, I think that the preventive care is probably one of the most critical things to anyone.
Yeah, I think that's something that I would echo. But also, you know, as you get older, things actually start happening to you, right? You start getting sick. You might land in the hospital a couple times. And I think the advantage of Kaiser there is that coordinated system that we're describing. So in, you know, I'll throw out some statistics for you. In the country as a whole, roughly 20% of the time, if you were discharged from a hospital, you were admitted and discharged, you will get readmitted within 30 days. That happens one out of every five times. And in fact, every hospitalization, There was another article, I believe this was from the Journal of General Internal Medicine from 2009. They said your typical hospitalization involves 15 different handoffs in care. Those handoffs and not being able to hand off between the hospital space and the primary care space, that's what leads to things like readmissions. That's what leads to medical error. That's what leads to complications that ideally you'd like to do without. In a system like ours, we have a system that enables better communication between different providers in the healthcare system. So whether it's our electronic medical record system, whether it's the fact that we are the same organization that sees you in the hospital as the one that sees you outside the hospital, creating that linkage and integrating across those silos, we do a lot better when it comes to, you know, managing around those trouble spots, I would say, of the healthcare system. So I think, to me, if I were someone getting on in my years, I think that would be the big big advantage of being a Kaiser member, is that I know that whatever setting I'm in, I'm going to have smooth transitions between the care settings, between providers that communicate with one another.
Okay. How do you coordinate with Medicare B, and do we want B, and how do you coordinate with Medicare?
Do you want B is a very individual.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I would never tell somebody they need to get Part B. It depends on the circumstance of every person's going to be different. So you can't really coach whether or not people need Part B. But the thing that is unique about Kaiser Permanente and how Part B works with the federal group is that you don't suspend your commercial plan with the feds. You actually keep it. And we have, if you do have Part B, you can sign up for our Medicare Plus plan that actually lays over the copays that are in the commercial plan and reduces them.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It is a highly individualized decision. If you're relatively healthy, your lifestyle, you don't have any high risk factors or maybe some genetic time bombs out there from your family history, maybe you don't need Medicare Part B, because you're going to pay this year. Actually, rates went down. I was shocked. Of course, an election year coming up. That's, I'm sure, what's driving it. Anyway, you're going to pay at least $1,200 a year, about $100 a month, if your income is below $85,000 for a single and $170,000 for a couple. But that's still $1,200 a year extra, and I don't care whatever FEHB plan you have, you're not. They will agree to waive all out-of-pocket expenses, which is your kind of a trade-off. But you'd have to go to the doctor a lot each month to cover that $100 a month Medicare Part B premium. But you got to make sure when you turn 65 and you've got 3 months prior to your 65th birthday, the month you turn 65 and 3 months after to sign up, you got to sign up for Part A, because that's, you've already paid for that through your payroll taxes. So there's no extra charge for that. Part A is the hospitalization portion. And so if you get hit by a bus in D.C. and chances are you will, as we know, and you have to go into the hospital, a combination of Part A and Kaiser or whatever health plan you use means zero out-of-pocket medical expenses except for prescription drugs, and those are heavily discounted in your plan. But, yeah, Part B is for many federal employees and retirees like having a belt and suspenders, because it's not particularly cheap.
Okay, wellness programs. Do you have them?
Do we have? We actually offer health classes, and in addition to that, we have discounts on gym memberships, and we have online classes as well. And on KP.org is a great vast wealth of information concerning healthy living, healthy choices.
Okay. All righty. I have to hand a compliment to John Elliott. basically most of these questions came from John. He laid them out very nicely. I like what you did there.
Well, thank you.
All righty, catastrophic limits, and then we've got to bring this to a slow close.
Sure. You know, and being an HMO and being that we most of our or all of our benefits are co-pays, it would be very difficult to hit a catastrophic limit with us. But on the high option, it's $2,250 for an individual. And $4,500 for a family. That's the most out of pocket that you would pay.
And that's relatively low.
Yep. Okay. And that's on the high option. On the standard option, it's $3,500 for an individual and $7,000 for a family.
And that's still relatively low compared to some other FEHBP
plans. All right. I'm going to ask a naive question.
In other words, that's all you're responsible. That's the max you can be responsible for out of pocket.
That's correct.
To clarify for anybody who's confused.
Okay. Just real quick, we got 2 minutes. High deductible health care plans. Do you do those?
We do not.
Okay. All right, because just so we got all the situations.
Yep. It's very predictable. When you use our health insurance or our health plan, your costs are very predictable. It's set co-pays, so you know when you're going to go get a service that you're going to pay $10 or $20 or $30, and that's it.
Okay, we have a minute and a half. Final comments, gentlemen.
Well, we certainly appreciate being here. Appreciate you guys having us out, and appreciate all the listeners listening to us. We hope you can consider choosing Kaiser Permanente at open enrollment. If you'd like to attend a webinar this week and get an invitation, you can send us an email at federal-accounts@kp.org. That's federal-accounts@kp.org, and we'll send you an invitation to the webinar. If you have any other additional information and you'd like to visit our website, you can go to kp.org/feds. That's kp.org/feds. There's also a 800 number on there and a click-to-chat function.
Okay, gentlemen, John Patrick, Federal Employees Health Benefit Plan Director, and Dr. Jay Rue, Associate Medical Director, both of Kaiser and Permanente. Did I do that right?
You did.
John Elliott, Federal Benefit Strategist. Bob Lines, tax type. I didn't have much to talk about today, but that's okay. And hope you enjoyed listening, and hope you go to one of our seminars, NITP, INC, and we are mid-career, beginning career, and pre-retirement seminar ACEs. Thanks for listening. We'll be on next week, and we'll have at least the long-term health care folks on and potentially Aetna. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.
As an increased number of government agencies transform to a cloud infrastructure, IT is being viewed less as a product buy and more as a service. From acquisition and procurement to the SLAs that map them, the transition to storage, email, and infrastructure as a service stands to rewrite the basic processes of federal IT. Join AFSEA Bethesda and Dave McClure, the Associate Administrator at GSA, on November 16th at the Bethesda North Marriott to discuss how agencies are managing this transition. Register today at afseabethesda.org/NOVBreakfast.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.